Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punchbowl News. It's Thursday, July 14th, 2022. Let's get into the mix. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, Dems' new strategy on USICA. Number two, what reconciliation might actually look like. And number three, Speaker Nancy Pelosi's big fundraising haul. All right, Jake, let's get into it. The top story of the morning, there's been a lot of talk about what USICA could look like, what it might happen, this pressure to get it done before the end of the month. What say you?
Yeah. So, let's just be clear here. I mean, despite Congress's best efforts, or actually worst efforts, to be honest with you, because the Senate passed USICA more than a year ago now. We're sitting here on July 14th, 2022. The Senate passed it, I believe, in June of 2021. I'm going to look that up while we're on the podcast here, but the Senate...
It's good. We fact check as we go, folks.
Senate passed it on June 8th, 2021 with 68 votes. It's a big number for the United States Senate. So the House did not ever take it up. They passed several different companion bills, which were going nowhere in the Senate. They went to conference. The conference negotiation, as you and as we've reported for weeks now, kind of had been going nowhere. So we've been reporting for the last couple of weeks that there were basically three options here. Number one, get a deal in conference. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. There's like hundreds of issues that are undone. You could blame Democrats, blame Republicans for this, and they probably deserve some blame. The other option is to for the House to pass the Senate bill. That ain't happening. The House has been very territorial on this, as it tends to be. Number three option is just pass $50 billion, $52 billion in money to the semiconductor industry. These semiconductor companies are trying to make investments in plants to make semiconductors in the U.S. If the U.S. government doesn't pony up or give some sort of plan, they're going to make these things elsewhere. They're already making them in Taiwan. They're going to make them in Germany and France and all these European countries that are interested in having semiconductor manufacturers there. So the $52 billion seems like the easiest option. Top Democrats are rallying around this. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo was on the Hill yesterday and indicated that she would be for this. It's the easiest option. I mean, just cutting a check for $52 billion is not not complicated. It's probably like a couple pages. So,
the path of least resistance, I get it. It seems as though it's the way to go, considering the time frame. But not everybody's for this, right? Senator Todd Young, Republican from Indiana, who's been pushing on USICA for months now, is against a chips-only package. Bernie Sanders do? We've been writing for weeks now, if not months, that he doesn't want to do basically a bailout to the semiconductor industry.
Yeah, I mean, like... Bernie, we mentioned him in the newsletter. The theory among top Democrats is it doesn't really matter because he voted against USICA. He's not going to vote for this. But it does face some resistance because Todd Young is against it. But I think they can get 60 for this. I mean, I talked to John Cornyn a couple days ago about this. He indicated he'd be for it. McConnell's threat, which kind of killed USICA, to be honest with you, was if you pursue reconciliation, you're not getting USICA. The big problem here is like the timing, right? I mean, it's July 14th. We got like 16 days left in the month or something like that. So they have a lot of stuff they want to do in the next 16 days. You know, this is what it's going to look like. This is going to be a big rush over the next couple of days. Remember, Chuck Schumer's in New York in Brooklyn with COVID. So I'm sure he's going crazy in Brooklyn without not being here. Anyway, that's kind of where it stands. I imagine this is going to get done in some way, shape, or form. I don't think Congress is going to leave town without this getting done.
All right, let's find the number two story of the morning. What reconciliation might actually look like. Yesterday, Senator Joe Manchin appeared even more skeptical than ever about a roughly $1 trillion reconciliation package following Wednesday's horrible inflation report, which showed that prices for goods and services are more than 9% higher than last year. This is the worst inflation rate since the early 1980s and comes as another blow to President Joe Biden and the Democrats. So I think the big question here is, given that as the backdrop to this negotiation that's been going on now for, again, very similar to USICA in some ways, months and months and months. The question is really, what can Manchin and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer kind of come together on to reach a deal and avoid another just, you know, kind of coming up empty-handed, I guess, if nothing else?
Yeah, so I've always thought this was like the most logical thing. Like you kind of have to work within the art of the possible here, which is, I understand they want to raise taxes. I understand they want to do a bunch of spending. I get that. That is obvious. And they've been trying to do that for like a year, and they've not been able to. So what is the lowest common denominator? ACA subsidies, Medicare negotiating on drug prices, like. At some point soon, they're just going to have to go to that, and they're going to have to take it and pass it. We talked to, you know, Brez got really, he really
went deep on this one.
Yeah, 20. We talked to 20 senators or something like that yesterday to see what they thought about this. And it was an interesting range of responses. I mean, even the most liberal progressive senators kind of said, you know, you gotta work with what you have, and whatever gets 50 votes is what we're gonna do. So on the other hand, and we're gonna say this in the newsletter, but like, the problem is the Democratic leadership feels with Manchin that they have a really tough time pinning him down, and I get that, having spoken to him for a long time. They just don't know where he is until the last minute. So you just kind of keep, as one senior leadership person said to me yesterday, you just kind of have to keep plowing ahead until you get him to say yes to a big pack, to some sort of package. But, you know, again, politics is the art of the possible.
Is something they could run on. I mean, at sure. The end of the day, Jake, I mean, you know, are they going to run on raising taxes for people? No, I don't care if they're wealthy people or not. Like, this is something Democrats, you look at inflation, you look at all of the headwinds that go into this midterm election, doing a healthcare package is something that would be pretty popular.
Yeah, and the other thing I would say is that it would put Republicans in a tough spot. Like, if you're a moderate Republican and there's a bill to extend ACA subsidies and to allow Medicare to negotiate on drug prices, like, that's a tough vote for a Republican if it doesn't include a ton of new spending or whatever. So, you know, I think that's it'll be a tough vote. And I think it would absolutely be something they could run on.
All right, let's move on to the number three story of the morning. Speaker Nancy Pelosi, California from Democrat. You might have heard of her before. She raised, Jake, a whopping $41.8 million for House Democrats in the second quarter of this year. Another chapter in the California Democrats' effort to keep the party flush with cash. That's just an insane amount of money. That's all I got.
It is a lot of dough. It is certainly a lot of dough. You know, listen, and we should combine these two thoughts here. the reality is the outside groups are taking a much more active role here and are raising a ton of money. So Democrats face these really stiff headwinds in the election. And CLF is our next item, and I'll just combine it with this. The Congressional Leadership Fund has raised $43.5 million in the second quarter.
For House Republicans, just to be clear.
Yeah, CLF, the House Republican Super PAC, blessed by Kevin McCarthy, has $130.4 million in the bank. Combine that with AAN, the American Action Network, the nonprofit that is linked to CLF. They've got $226 million. That's almost $250 million in the bank to support House Republicans in 2022. Just a stupid amount of money in this election cycle. And that's all I got. That's just a lot of dough.
All right. With that, I just want to flag for folks, if you are a premium member, that means you're not just getting our free morning newsletter, but you get our midday and our PM. We also do a lot of community events. We are announcing our July Brown Bag Lunch conversation on Thursday, July 21st at 12 p.m. These are kind of fun. It's myself, Jake, Brez, and Heather. We have a virtual conversation with and exclusively for our premium community where we talk about what's happening in Washington and answer your questions live. You can sign up to be a premium member at punchbowl.news. Also, if you like the podcast, we appreciate you listening. Leave us a rating and review. It's the best way for folks to find out about us. You can also subscribe to our free morning newsletter at punchbowl.news. Have a great day and stay safe.